proceedings. But I will call the meeting to order. This is the Records Management Committee meeting. It's Monday, March 23rd, and it is 1:01 p.m. So we have a rather short agenda, which we haven't had for a few months. So we have two items on the agenda. And if everyone's okay, we'll do the first item of business is the approval of the February 2026 meeting minutes.
I would so move to approve.
I would second that.
So that was a motion from Steve. Was that Steve? That was you. Okay. And a second from Tanji. Any comments on the motion? Okay. Hearing none, we will take a roll call vote. So Veronica?
Yes.
Tanji?
Aye.
Steve?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
And I've missed someone. Myself, I vote yes. Did we get everyone that's a committee member? All right. Everyone voted yes. That passes unanimously. All right. The first item on the agenda for approval would be it's communicable disease outbreak files. This is a series-specific retention schedule. This is also a new schedule. It's submitted by Renee Wilson on behalf of DHHS. And Renee, if you have guests with you here today, can you introduce them, please?
Yes, absolutely. So hello, we have Sam Anderson from the Division of Population Health. There we go. Let me share my screen with you. We're just going to do that entire window. Okay, so the first record series we have here, let me see if I can make that a little bigger for you, is communicable disease outbreak files. And so the Division of Population Health has, the Office of Communicable Disease has a record series for outbreak case files. And those are managed separately. Those are individual case files. And Sam, do you want to just explain a little bit about how these are different, what these are?
Absolutely. I think the easiest way is to just kind of run through the chronology. So if somebody gets sick with a reportable condition, they have a lab test that creates a case file. And that is under a separate series called Communicable Disease Case Files and Index, which is also permanent. But all of that info is directly tied to them and their medical history, things like that. Whenever we're investigating a broader outbreak, so if there are multiple cases in an area, or if it's a disease that is very unusual or it's an unusual presentation, like they were vaccinated, but they still got it, stuff like that. Then we do some additional investigation on top of that. And sometimes that can include things that are relevant to the investigation, but aren't really tied to any individual's case file. For example, if it was at a workplace, right? We might include what that workplace is and hours of operation, contact info, things like that. So the outbreak files are kind of a companion file to the case files because they are used for a lot of the same things. But the difference there is typically outbreak files are applicable to a variety of individuals and can't really be adequately assigned to one person's case.
Thanks. So the requested retention is to retain these records permanently, which also follows along with the case files record series. Those are also retained permanently. I think that's about it. Are there any questions?
Yeah. Renee, can you speak to the primary designation, the classification of these records, and why they're exempt?
Yeah, so the Department of Health and Human Services has their own section of code that has very specific restrictions and guidelines on how health data can be shared and accessed. And so they follow that primarily. And that exempts them.
Great, thank you. Are there other questions from the committee? Dave, you're muted.
I came in a little bit late, so I didn't catch. Okay, there's the privacy. Okay.
So, Sam, I just want to make sure that I understand. So this debt database, it's not anonymized then. So you're retaining the individual's name and that information, similar to the case file about each individual, the other record series, correct?
Yeah, generally, most of the PII, PHI, things like that is in the case file, but sometimes there aren't case files for every relevant person, and that's why some PII can end up in an outbreak file. The end result, though, is very similar to the case files. On the case files series, we included a statement essentially saying, once we no longer need to follow up with individuals, we might remove personal data from that series. I didn't add it initially here just because it's less common that we even have personal data in there. But if that would be helpful in terms of the permanent retention, I would be happy to add similar language into this one. Because at the end of the day, we only need to maintain identifiable information so long as we are actually going to act on and follow up with the individual. So for some outbreaks, depending on the disease, that could be kind of the lifetime of the individual. But for other outbreaks, we don't need it that long. We don't need identifiable data that long. We need the outbreak file, though.
Any other questions from the committee?
I just want to go back to the exemption. What are we saying it's exempt from the GRAMMA classification?
This code will supersede GRAMMA, but so that's why it's exempt. After, if there's anything in there that is like, just how if there's federal law that supersedes GRAMMA, so same situation.
Thanks.
Sam, I do have, so when, can you just talk to us a little bit about how these records are used? So are you, I'm assuming that you're creating a database for study and for, protecting our citizens against further outbreaks. But can you speak more to that, how the division uses those records?
Certainly. So some of it is broader longitudinal analysis, things like what was the prevalence of gonorrhea in a certain community 10 years ago versus today, and that can kind of clue us into maybe we need to do a little bit more research here. There are also, it's very situational because so many different diseases are so different. For example, we have some older case data, like outbreak data, that we were actually able to go back and DNA type and match it to current outbreaks of various foodborne illnesses. So typically, if it's beyond the like active outbreak time where we're like people are still getting sick and we're still investigating. We retain these for broader follow-up of if any of these individuals get sick again, then we can rule out actually it was more likely that they still had this originally, or if there are healthcare facilities that have an outbreak of a specific pathogen that actually maintains, like, we can't completely consider it eradicated. So if that outbreak ever happens at that facility again, we need to know that this has happened before, and that it wasn't properly eradicated originally. So some examples are some of that, like typing, connecting outbreaks to different outbreaks. That's our most common use of this data. But there's everything from individuals having questions about how this impacts their like medical future, things like that, that we're able to verify with healthcare providers, things like that. It's pretty broad, but I'm happy to answer additional questions if helpful.
No, that was great. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? I think this looks great. I'd make a motion to approve this schedule as it's currently written.
Second.
So we have a motion from myself and then a second from David. Any further discussion to the motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll have a roll call vote. So Tanji.
Aye.
Daniel?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Veronica?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
And I vote yes. So the schedule passes unanimously. Okay. The next item on the agenda is non-positive communicative disease events. This is a series-specific retention schedule. This is a new schedule, and it's submitted by Renee on behalf of DHHS.
Yeah, thank you. So this one is for the actual Division of Population Health rather than the Office of Communicable Diseases within it. The Division of Population Health receives these reports from healthcare providers who have to report certain disease information, and then they take that information and it goes into a system. So the records in this series are just those original reports that those healthcare providers send to the Division of Population Health. They are requesting to retain these for 18 months and then destroy. There just wasn't really a great general retention schedule that fit that time period.
Thank you. Sam, this is in your area also. Do you have any other comments you'd want to share with the committee?
Yeah, just generally, some of these diseases are only reportable if they're positive, but then there are other diseases, and these would be the ones included in this series, that we also require negative reporting so that we can understand the prevalence of that disease. So like what percentage of tests are coming up positive and how is that changing throughout time? We call this our denominator database, which is exactly what it is, right? Your positives are on your numerator of the fraction. You need your broader whole to compare it to. These, as soon as they are identified as non-positive, it says non-positive because it could also be indeterminate or equivocal. So not just negative test results, but as soon as we determine that we're not going to use this for an investigation, then our algorithm automatically de-identifies it and just puts it into that database for 18 months. It's actually required in our communicable disease rule, which is why the 18 months matters.
So I did want to ask you about the privacy annotation. So at the beginning, when these when this database or this is being collected, it isn't anonymous. Is that correct?
Correct. We actually have a separate series for the raw reports before it's determined whether or not they're investigated. So generally the idea is that that other series for the reports when they are identifiable is then, and then once we identify that they're not going to be investigated, then we de-identify them and put them in this series.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Thank you.
Of course.
Any other questions from the committee? Okay,
I would move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve from David and a second from Daniel. Any further discussion to the motion? Okay, hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote. Veronica?
Yes.
Angie?
Aye.
Daniel?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
And I vote yes. So the motion carries unanimously. It's approved.
Thank you. Hey.
Sam, thank you so much. I'm glad you're there doing your job because you keep us safe. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is for the next meeting scheduled. Kendra, can you tell us that date?
Yeah, that would be the 27th of April.
Where did March go? Will we have a quorum on that date?
I'm planning on being there.
Danny here?
Yes.
Steve's a yes?
Yes.
Veronica's a yes?
I'm a no. Sorry, I'll be out of town.
Okay. I'm a yes, so that's four of us.
I'll be there.
And Dave will be there, so we'll have five. Okay. I think I got the count right. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you.
Tangie, thank you for letting us know.
You're welcome.
Okay, there's a final motion in front of us, and it's non-negotiable, non-debatable. Who is that? To adjourn from Steve. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thanks, everyone, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.